You've said in the last few days that things can't get any worse for the Labour Party. Did you watch John McDonnell's response to George Osborne?
Yes, I did. And the Little Red Book.
And?
The speech itself was fine.
But it wasn't. Forget the Red Book for a moment. It wasn't fine because there was no forensic analysis of what George Osborne had said. He didn't say about the tax cuts, well, where did this £27 billion extra come from? I don't think he said that once in his speech.
No. And even on tax credits, it had been pre-written. I think Labour's got to be far more adept at actually responding to what is being said. We should have expected George Osborne to come out with a very political budget. I actually said about a third of the way through George Osborne's speech, he's not going to cut the police budget because he was leaving it to last.
Yeah.
You just knew
the
that you
rabbit
would have
out of the hat.
Yeah. And I think Labour's got to be far more adept at understanding the political nature of the budget and responding on their feet, not on pre-arranged speeches. And jokes like throwing Little Red Books down, they don't appeal to anybody, really. This is a serious discussion about what's happening to our public services and our society.
But isn't it worrying for you that this Red Book thing apparently was cooked up by him and his advisers? I assume that it must have been something spontaneous that he had decided to do off his own bat, but our political editor tells us no, this was something that all of his advisers agreed to because they thought it would be a good wheeze. I mean, what does that say?
Not very much. I think you'd better ask the people who advised him on that. Sometimes, you know, leaders do get advice which is off the wall from young people who've got no experience. And I think that's true of all politicians, not just John McDonnell. But on a day like this, I mean, we've had 5 years of austerity. You know, we've seen some like 500 libraries closed, 400 police stations have closed, 600 children's centres. No, the list just goes on and on. These are the issues that we should have been talking about. It isn't just a little bit less austerity. Something has got to be done to actually say, well, the cuts that are taking place now, you know, we've got to stop them. It's gone too far.
I'm correct in thinking you back Jeremy Corbyn, aren't I?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you got buyer's remorse?
No. I think it's early days yet. There was a reason why Labour Party people voted for Jeremy. We have an opposition, and the Labour was the voice of the opposition. And in doing that, it's got to
You look at the opposition of the last few weeks. Do you seriously think that they look like an opposition that are waiting to form a government?
But you refer to my view, but my view is it really is about the whole of the political elite in Parliament, that they think that they can bicker among themselves and people get turned off with it. Why are people?
Well, that's what John McDonnell was doing with the Red Book, wasn't it?
Well, yes, I think I'm saying a plague in all your houses. They're all as bad as each other. When you hear the shouting, and I thought the speaker today was very good, when he said to all of them, "Will you?" You know, cut out all this shouting. People are watching, and no wonder they're turned off by politicians. And I think there's some truth in what the speaker was saying. And it's not just my comments weren't just about Jeremy or about John. They were about the infighting that is going on throughout the Labour Party, especially among MPs. People want to see a united party.
Well, they do, but you opposition. Can understand why the MPs are saying what they are, because the Labour leadership, and Jeremy Corbyn in particular, aren't showing any signs of real leadership, are they?
Well, it was the MPs that put Jeremy on the list. And
well,
it was Labour Party.
Half of them didn't really support him, though, did they?
Well, wasn't that stupid then?
Well, indeed.
It reinforces the point I'm making. But when the Labour Party members had a chance to vote, they voted for Jeremy because there's something different about him. For one thing, he's honest. He appears honest. Families like him. He looks like them.
No, but he doesn't. You see, the thing is, if you saw what happened in the Commons today with Jeremy Corbyn sitting alongside John McDonnell, he hadn't even got the top button of his shirt done up. Now, that doesn't mean anything in many ways, but there will be lots of people watching that thinking, why can't he do the top button of his shirt up? Because it shows disrespect to the office that he's got. It shows disrespect to the House of Commons. I couldn't give a damn whether he has his top button done up, to be honest, but a lot of people will, and a lot of people judge people like that.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is true. I mean, I'm not being, you know, 100% defensive of what's happened since Jeremy became leader, but I understand why he became leader. And it's quite interesting that a Sunday Times poll was done of Labour Party members, and over two-thirds of Labour Party members think he's doing a good job. So it may be we look in with a different, or you're looking in with a different perspective. But to ordinary people, you know, maybe low-paid workers...
Yeah, but ordinary people aren't necessarily Labour Party members, are they?
Well, many of them are. There is a range, and many of them are public service workers that I represent. I think at least nearly a fifth or over a fifth of Labour Party members belong to my union. They work in our public services. They're not well paid, they're fairly paid, and they think about, you know, society and what we need to ensure that our communities are looked after. And they are members of the Labour Party, ordinary people.